Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike at May-21-2011.com with a new study in the book of Daniel. We'll be starting in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, and today we'll cover verses 1 through 6. I'll begin by reading the verses and then going into the introduction. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. In Daniel chapter 7, verses 1 through 6 that I just read, we look at the first three beasts which came out of the sea. The first beast was like a lion. The second beast was like a bear. And the third beast was like a leopard. And each of these beasts represent different aspects of Satan's worldwide rule up until Judgment Day on May 21, 2011. The lion represents the rule of Satan with respect to the spreading of the gospel. We will see that before the cross, Satan's rule was great in keeping the gospel from spreading out to the world. But after the cross, his rule was greatly diminished as the gospel then began to explode into all the nations of the world. The bear, on the other hand, represents Satan's rule with respect to his great ability to kill human beings throughout history. And finally, the leopard represents Satan's mobility or access to rule worldwide. Well, let's begin with verse number 1. Once again, that verse reads, In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. In this verse, we are told that Daniel had a dream and visions while he was upon his bed. This, we are told, took place in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon. Apparently, Belshazzar was the son of Nebuchadnezzar, as we read in Daniel 5, verse 18, who had conquered Jerusalem in 587 BC, and we are told in the secular record that Belshazzar's reign began in 550 BC and ended in 539 BC when Cyrus, the king of Persia, deposed him in one night. So, when Daniel saw this dream and visions was near the end of the 70-year period of desolations upon Judah, from 609 BC to 539 BC, which were prophesied by Jeremiah the prophet, and which period we know was a type of the Great Tribulation that we had experienced from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, which was a period of spiritual desolations upon all of the churches worldwide. And you can click on the three different links to get more information on that, on those desolations. We would expect then that these visions may have to do with this great tribulation period. Now we are told that Daniel wrote down the dream and told the sum of the matters, which we will begin reading about in the next verse. In verse 2 of Daniel 7, we read, Daniel spoke and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. The first thing that we make note of in this verse is that Daniel saw his vision by night, which is more literally translated with the night. The night in the Bible is often symbolic of a time of spiritual judgment or tribulation. And this matches well with the fact that his vision is a vision of Satan's rule or dominion worldwide, as we shall see. Furthermore, we are told that the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. The word here translated as heaven is plural. So it should read, and behold, the four winds of the heavens, plural, strove upon the great sea. Now in that there are four winds, symbolizes these winds are worldwide. And you can click on the link, the number four, to see that the number four symbolizes universality or worldwide. And in that they strove, that is, in that these winds strove or broke out upon the great sea, symbolizes that judgment or tribulation, represented by the winds from the heavens, came upon the world, as the sea represents the world. For just as fishermen do their fishing in the sea, so also do the fishers of men do their fishing in the world. So we see how the sea is comparable to the world. And further support for the sea symbolizing the world is found in Psalm 98, where we read in verse 7, Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Even the wicked people of the world can be symbolized by the sea, as we read in Isaiah 57, which reads in verse 20, But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. So, what we have first revealed in this second verse of Daniel 7 is judgment or tribulation being brought upon the world. And as we shall see, this tribulation or judgment is being brought about by Satan's rule. This will be further explained as we continue with our study on Daniel chapter 7. Well, let's move on to verse 3 of Daniel 7. Verse 3 reads, And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. We are told in verse 17 of Daniel 7 who these four beasts are. We read, These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. Now, each of these great beasts, or four kings, represent Satan's rule over the world. There are four of them because Satan's dominion or rule is being viewed as worldwide. And you can click on the number four to see why that is. And these four beasts are diverse one from another because they each reveal different aspects of Satan's rule. Moving on to verse 4. Verse 4 of Daniel 7. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Here we are told that the first beast, or king, was like a lion. A lion, of course, is a predator that hunts by night and is the king of its realm, because there's none other mightier who preys on others. Indeed, it symbolizes Satan, who preys on people because he is mightier than any who prey upon others, as he seeks to control, devour, and destroy those who were made in the image of God, especially the holy people, the elect. We are reminded of Satan coming as a lion in 1 Peter 5:8, where we read, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And again, in 2 Timothy 4, we read in verse 17, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." And of course, the lion represents Satan. Next, we are told that this lion, Satan, had eagle's wings. Eagle's wings symbolize Satan's power to rule before the time of the cross, and being able to roam or soar freely about the earth with a superior vantage point for attacking prey. These eagle wings gave Satan a tremendous ability to frustrate the gospel and keep the gospel primarily contained within the nation of Israel and restrained from the rest of the world. But at the cross, Satan's eagle wings were plucked, so that he lost much of his ability to keep the gospel from spreading, but instead the gospel began to go out to the whole world with much success, as Satan's eagle wings had been plucked, which is a picture of his having been bound at the cross for the duration of the church age from Pentecost 33 AD until May 21, 1988, when the church age ended. We read about Satan being bound for the duration of the church age in Revelation 20, where we are told that he was bound for 1,000 years. "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key," starting in verse 1 in Revelation 20. "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more." That's the key, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. To see that 1,000 years in this passage is symbolic of the complete duration of the church age from Pentecost in 33 AD to May 21, 1988, which was 1955 years, and not a literal 1,000 years to be manifest at some time in the future, as premillennial dispensationalists would have it. Read, or actually listen to, and study my study on Revelation 20, part 1. Just click on the link. Now, we are told that Daniel watched until the eagle's wings of the lion beast, Satan, were plucked off, which, as already stated, took place at the cross when Satan was bound in the bottomless pit, in the sense of not being able to any longer restrain the gospel from going forth to all the nations of the world, as he was able before the cross. And we are told that Daniel beheld until the lion beast was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. This all took place when Satan was released from the bottomless pit on May 21, 1988. And you can go to verse 7 of Revelation 20, part 1, to see this by clicking on the link. So this all took place when Satan was released from the bottomless pit on May 21, 1988, and exalted to become the man of sin, the Antichrist, the counterfeit Christ, the false Christ, who was lifted up from the earth to be given rule over all the churches worldwide as a means whereby Yahweh brought spiritual judgment against all the churches because of their transgressions. And this spiritual judgment against all the churches is known as the Great Tribulation, which lasted from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, when Spiritual Judgment Day began. And you can see this by clicking on the link, the biblical calendar, and then to see that the calendar is proven, you can click on the link for proofs. For the time was come that judgment must begin at the house of God, as we read in 1 Peter 4:17. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Well, we read about the man of sin, that is Satan, who is the false Christ and Antichrist, being seated to rule in the temple, that is all the churches, in 2 Thessalonians 2, where we read, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come," that is the day of Christ, "except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin," that is the Antichrist, and be sure to click on the link Antichrist to see who the Antichrist really is. "So, let no one deceive you, for that day, the day of Christ, shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin," the Antichrist, false Christ, Satan, "be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God," that is in the churches, "showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth," namely it was the Holy Spirit that withheld, "that he," the man of sin, the Antichrist, the false Christ, who is Satan, "might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity," that is Satan working in the churches, "doth already work, only he who now letteth," that is the Holy Spirit, "will let until he," that is the Holy Spirit, "be taken out of the way," or out of the midst of all the churches. "And then shall that wicked," that is the man of sin, the Antichrist or Satan, "be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them," that is all the churches, "strong delusion, that they should believe a lie," that is namely that Christ is being worshipped in all the churches, when actually Satan is the one being worshipped, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Well, you are encouraged to listen to my audio message on these verses of 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 11. And I've entitled that message, The Man of Sin. You can just click on the link. It will take you to a place where you'll see another link with the same title, and just click on it to listen to it. There is no written part to it. It's just an audio message, but it does discuss the verses that I just went over in 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 11. There you will find that the man of sin is the Antichrist, the false Christ, Satan, who was used as a tool of judgment against the churches, as he has deceived them with false teachings and gospels and has made them think they are worshiping Christ when in fact they are worshiping the false Christ, the man of sin, the Antichrist, who is Satan himself. Well, let's move on to verse 5 of Daniel 7. Verse 5 of Daniel 7. There we read, "And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it, and they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh." Here we find that another second beast or king which came up from the sea was like to a bear. A bear, like a lion, is a predator, and in comparison to a person is very strong and powerful. It is a picture of the power and strength of Satan as he preys on human beings. The Bible paints a picture of Goliath, who was a giant Philistine warrior from his youth, as being like the bear and the lion that David defeated while he was shepherding sheep. We read in 1 Samuel 17, verses 33 through 37, "And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine," that is Goliath, "to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said moreover, The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." So Goliath the giant is compared to being like the lion and the bear that King David defeated. And we know that, spiritually speaking, Goliath is a picture of Satan, who was defeated by King David, who himself was a picture of Christ. We see then how the picture of a bear or lion can be used to symbolize the strength and power of Satan as he preys on people. But the picture of a bear and lion can also be used to represent a wicked ruler over the poor. For we read in Proverbs 28, verse 15, "As a roaring lion and a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the poor people." Of course, the wicked ruler throughout time, the wickedest ruler, that is, throughout time over the poor people has been Satan. Hence, once again, we see him being represented by a lion and a bear. So we begin to have some insight as to why, in this vision of Daniel, that Satan is described as a lion on the one hand and then a bear on the next. Now, we read that this bear beast, Satan, or king, raised up itself on one side. Actually, the Hebrew literally reads, and it was raised up or set up to one side or part. It does not say that it raised itself up on one side, as the King James has it translated, but simply that it was raised up to one side or to one part. Or it could be translated in a way that the Young's literal translation translates it, that is, it was raised up to one part, in which case it would be telling us that this second bear beast or king was raised up to part one. Namely, it was raised up to the first beast, which would symbolize that it was given the same authority as the first lion beast or king. The Young's literal translation translates this portion of our verse like this: "And behold, another beast, a second, like to a lion, and to the same authority, that is, as the first beast, it has been raised." Next, our verse reads, "And it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh." Here the three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it, symbolizes that it is Satan's purpose, and that's because the number three symbolizes purpose, and you can click on the link to see this. It is Satan's purpose to prey on, devour, and destroy the flesh of humankind. This has been accomplished throughout history by Satan's involvement in wars, terrorist attacks, murders, abortions, holocausts, famines, pestilences, persecutions, drug addictions, and just about anything that leads to the destruction and death of lots of human beings. Indeed, Satan has a hatred toward all human beings in one sense because they were all created in the image of God. And they remind him of the God who will cast him, or did cast him out of heaven, and who will soon destroy him on the last day due to his rebellion. So this bear beast king and Satan will, with three ribs, the number three symbolizing purpose, in its mouth, between its teeth, is a picture of the rule of Satan in this world as he purposes to kill lots of human beings. And in that all the other beasts tell the bear beast to arise and devour much flesh, reveals that they are all in agreement with it, and they help empower the bear beast to accomplish his task of killing human beings. Of course, since each of these beasts typify one and the same Satan, it is really Satan himself doing all of this. The four beasts, the three beasts, simply symbolize various aspects of Satan's rule. Well, the last verse that we're going to cover today is verse 6 of Daniel 7. Verse 6, and it reads, "After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl." That word fowl can be translated as bird. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. So far we have seen that both the lion and the bear typify a different aspect of Satan's rule. Here, as we look at this leopard beast, it should not be surprising to us that it also typifies an aspect of Satan's rule. After all, we already concluded that the four beasts coming out of the sea represent the universal or worldwide rule of Satan, in that the four beasts are four kings, we were told in verse 17 of Daniel 7. And the four kings symbolize worldwide rule. And you can click on the number four to see that the number four symbolizes worldwide. Indeed, each of these four beasts or kings paints a different picture or aspect of Satan's rule in the world. The lion beast painted the picture of Satan's rule before the cross, as the lion had eagle's wings, which great rule empowered Satan to be able to restrain the gospel primarily to the nation of Israel. And then the lion beast had its eagle wings plucked at the cross, which greatly reduced its ability to restrain the gospel to the nation of Israel, as on Pentecost in 33 AD, the gospel began to go out to the whole world, unlike any time in history, until the leper beast was made to stand up with the feet of a man, and it was given the heart of a man, and it began to rule all the churches worldwide as the man of sin on May 21, 1988, according to the biblical calendar. The bear beast, on the other hand, painted the picture of Satan's rule in the world insofar as his power to devour the flesh of humans by killing them in all types of different ways. And then this third leopard beast, which had four wings of a bird on its back and four heads, and which was given dominion, simply pictures Satan's worldwide rule, or his access, or his mobility or access to rule worldwide. In that this leopard beast had four wings of a fowl, that is a bird, means that it had four wings of a human, because the term bird in the Bible is often used to symbolize a human. And to see that, you can click on the link, verse 2 of Revelation 18, part 1, and go to verse 2 and see how the Bible defines the word bird. And since four wings symbolize universal or worldwide mobility or access, because the wings symbolize mobility or access, and the number four symbolizes worldwide, we are being told that Satan had worldwide mobility or access, even as a man does. Furthermore, in that the leopard beast had four heads, symbolizes that it is worldwide. And in that the head is what rules over the body, the four heads symbolize worldwide rule. Hence, we read that this leopard beast was given dominion, and we know that this dominion was worldwide. So, what has been painted for us in Daniel verses 1 through 6 is a picture of Satan's rule in the world. The first lion beast revealed that the rule of Satan before the cross with respect to the spreading of the gospel was great, as he was able to restrain the gospel from the world for the most part. But then after the cross, when his wings had been plucked, his rule insofar as the gospel is concerned was greatly reduced, as he was no longer able to restrain the gospel from going out to the world. As at Pentecost in 33 AD, the gospel began to go out to the whole world, with thousands all of a sudden being saved. Then on May 21, 1988, when the church age ended, Satan was raised up to become like a man, to reign as the man of sin in all the churches, until Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. Now the second bear beast with three ribs between its teeth revealed that the rule of Satan included the power to destroy human flesh, which continues to be accomplished through wars, terrorism, murders, abortions, holocausts, famines, pestilences, persecutions, drug addictions, just about anything that leads to the destruction and death of lots of human beings. Indeed, Satan is not out for the good of humankind, but would like to see them all dead, especially the people of Yahweh. And finally, the third leopard beast with the wings of a bird and four heads revealed that Satan had free mobility or access to rule throughout the world. Now, in our next study, we will look at this fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Until then, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.